turn to Acts chapter 10 tonight, Acts chapter number 10. And I want to dive in a little deeper to the story of Peter and Cornelius here in Acts 10. Acts 10, if you were here last Sunday morning, you know that Acts 10 is the story of a Gentile man by the name of Cornelius who trusts Christ along with his entire household. John, just a little bit more in the A's. This is a real significant event in the Word of God, and it provides a bridge from the Apostle Peter to the Apostle Paul. It provides a bridge from God's kingdom program for the nation of Israel to the program of dispensation of grace for today for the body of Christ. If we bring up the map here, I just want to review quickly Peter, the Apostle Peter, is of course in Jerusalem, and then he goes to Lydda. And you remember that when he's in Lydda, Wednesday night, we taught how that he healed a crippled man, and we learned all about that miracle and what it represented. And then in Joppa, a lady named Dorcas died, and they sent for Peter in Lydda, and they wanted him to come to Joppa here so that hopefully that he could do something about this lady who died, who was a good woman, full of good works. And so Peter, he travels from Lydda here to Joppa, and of course he raises her up from the dead there at the end of Acts chapter 9. As Acts 10 opens up, Cornelius is here in Caesarea, this Gentile. He's a Roman soldier. He's a Gentile, and he's here in Caesarea. And Peter is still here in Joppa, and he is actually living with a guy by the name of Simon a Tanner. In fact, look at chapter 9, verse 43. And it came to pass that he, Peter, tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. Chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So Peter's here in Joppa, and Cornelius is here in Caesarea to the north. Now, where is Paul? Paul got saved in Acts 9. All right, so Acts 9, Paul gets saved, and Paul is on the road to Damascus here. He gets saved in Acts 9, and then he's run out of town. He goes down here to Jerusalem. Again, if you look back, look at Acts 9, verse 30. Acts 9, 30. It says, "Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus." So what they do is they take Paul. He's such a hot button, and he's creating such turbulence in Jerusalem that they take Paul, they escort him to Caesarea, which would be a seaport town, and then he goes here, up here, to his hometown of what? Tarsus. So when this event is going on, when this event here in Joppa, in Caesarea, is going on with Cornelius and Peter, Paul's up here in Tarsus, and you remember he's waiting on the Lord. He's just kind of waiting. He's in the waiting mode. Acts chapter 10 is very important because we go from Acts 9:30, where Paul is sent home to Tarsus right here, and then we go to Acts 11, go over to Acts 11 real fast after chapter 10, and the story of Cornelius is over. When Cornelius and that story is over, it's, you know, five or six verses later, in verse 25, it says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." And so look up here. So you got the story here of Peter and Cornelius here in Caesarea. Paul is waiting in Tarsus. When this story down here is over with Peter and Cornelius, Paul is brought from Tarsus to Antioch, where he begins to help in the ministry there with Barnabas. And then chapter 13, he launches out in his first missionary journey to that area of Galatia that we talked about this morning, which would be, up here in modern-day Turkey, up in this area up here. And boom, Paul dominates the rest of the book. Peter disappears. So Peter dominates the early part of Acts. Acts 1 through 12 is basically Peter, with a few exceptions in there. Paul gets saved in 9. We know that. But other than Stephen in chapter 7, Paul in 9, Peter pretty much dominates the early part of the book of Acts. He's the leader. Paul dominates the middle and latter part of Acts from chapters 13 through 28. It's all Paul. Peter fades off the scene except for a brief appearance in chapter 15 at the Jerusalem Council. So here's the deal. Here's what I want you to see. Wedged in between this time that Paul is sent home to Tarsus up here, wedged in between the time that Paul sent home and then he's brought back into the work here in Antioch right here, wedged in between is the story of Peter and this Gentile Cornelius. Now, did God know in chapter 10 when he sent Peter to Cornelius' house? Did God know that Paul would be the apostle to the Gentiles? Yes or no? He sure did. He'd already told Paul. Would the church at Jerusalem have accepted the change in program if it was initiated by Paul, you think? No, because Paul was the new guy, just gotten saved. Everybody's leery of him. So what God does is he uses Peter in chapter 10 to open up the door for Paul's great ministry that was going to come to the Gentiles. This is why this is such a significant event in your Bible. Now, we examined the story on the surface back last Sunday morning in a Sunday morning message. We kind of skimmed over it and we gave you the basic details. But it is very crucial that you thoroughly understand this passage. It is a key to God's Word. It's a key to the New Testament. It's a key to understanding Peter and Paul. It's a key to understanding the Bible. So we need to delve into this text a little bit deeper. And we're going to answer several questions. It's not going to all be tonight, okay? But there's a lot of questions that we're going to answer. For example, was it because of Peter's rebellion and disobedience that he did not want to go to Cornelius' house? Was it because he was rebellious? Why was Peter... You're not supposed to answer. You're supposed to wait for me to answer that. Right? Why was Peter so vehemently opposed to eating the meats, you know, that God brought down in the sheet when God told him to eat them? Why was he so opposed? You know, and we're gonna answer that. Why did Peter consider it unlawful to keep company with Gentiles? Why did God interrupt Peter's sermon when he was preaching to Cornelius? Did Peter, after this event in Acts 10, did he continue to reach out and save Gentiles after this event? Was this like the beginning of a great Gentile ministry for Peter? Why did the church at Jerusalem initially object to Peter going to Cornelius' house? Why wouldn't they have been happy about it? Why did the Gentiles at Cornelius' house speak in tongues? So you see, there's a lot of questions here. And we're going to answer those over the next couple weeks. There's a lot here. And it's very important that you understand it. The first question that I want to answer, though, is this. Was Cornelius a lost Gentile, or was he a saved Jewish proselyte? The Bible describes the character of this man. Look with me at verse 2. It says that Cornelius was a devout man. John, just a little bit more. A devout man. He was one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God, what? Always. Look at verse 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man. Notice the Bible calls him a just man. One that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, because that's where he was living. He had a good testimony among the Jews. Was warned from God by an holy angel. Look down at verse number 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was what? Fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So here is a guy who was a devout man. He believed in Israel's God, the true God. He didn't believe in the paganistic multiplicity of gods like all the Romans believed. No, he was different. He believed in Israel's God. He gave alms to the poor. He prayed. He fasted to God. So does that mean that Cornelius was already saved? Yes or no? Had he already received forgiveness of his sins and eternal life? Well, let's look and see. Let's look at it. All right, look at verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, "What is it, Lord?" So this angel appears. He thinks it's the Lord. He said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." So there was something he was missing. Look over at chapter 11, and here it makes it even clearer. When Peter is telling the church at Jerusalem about what happened, look what he says in verse 14. He's recounting the story. Look at verse 14. Peter said, let's go up to verse 13. And he showed us, Cornelius showed us, how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what?" So was he a saved man, or did he need to be saved? Yes, he needed to be saved. When Peter began to talk to Cornelius and to all the people that Cornelius had gathered in his house, notice that he instructed them, verse 43, go back to chapter 10 now, verse 43. He instructed them on how they could receive what? Look at the verse and you tell me, what did he tell them? What did Peter instruct them on how they could, what they could receive? Remission of sins. What does remission mean? Forgiveness. Look at verse 43. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." So Peter is instructing these people how they can receive remission of their sins. As you read the story, it's very clear. Cornelius believed in Israel's God, but did he know about Jesus? Yes or no? He did not. Peter had to explain to him about Jesus Christ and what they had witnessed with their own eyes. Had Cornelius received the Holy Spirit yet before Peter came? No, he didn't get the Holy Spirit till after he heard about Jesus and they believed Peter's message about Jesus Christ. After this event, Peter goes to the church at Jerusalem, tells them what happened. Go over to chapter 11. Look what he tells the church in verse 18. Chapter 11, verse 18. Notice what happens. After he tells them what happened, verse 18 says, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto what? Life." So did Cornelius have life before Peter came? No, he got it after Peter came. So let's answer the question again. Was Peter a saved man or a lost man? He was lost. He had not received, I'm sorry, before Peter came. I'm confusing you guys. Okay, before Peter came, was he saved or lost? He was lost. He was lost. He needed somebody to tell him the words whereby he could be saved. He needed to receive remission of sins. He needed the Holy Spirit. He needed to hear about Jesus Christ. He needed to have life. He didn't have life yet. So Cornelius, was he a lost? Because there's some people who say this. They say Cornelius was a Gentile who had been proselytized into Judaism in some manner. In other words, some people will teach that Cornelius really wasn't lost, that he was a Jewish proselyte. Proselyte means a Gentile proselyte was a Gentile who came under the wings of Israel, basically became a Jew. They would observe all the Jewish ceremonies, and they became a Jew. They would come into be a proselyte into Judaism. And there's some who teach this, but the Scripture only teaches one kind of Jewish Gentile proselyte. To be a proselyte, a Gentile had to believe in Israel's God. Cornelius did that. But they also had to submit to the Jewish rite of circumcision, just like a Jew. And they had to adhere to the Mosaic law system. All the ceremonies, all of the sacrifice, all of the, they had to basically come into Judaism and live just as a Jew would live. Cornelius did not meet the scriptural criteria of a proselyte. Here's why. Look back at chapter 10. He believed in Israel's God, but if you look back at chapter 10, notice verse 45. It says, "And they of the circumcision," the Jews that were with Peter, "and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the what? Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." These people were uncircumcised Gentiles. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the what? Gentiles had also received the word of God." Verse 3, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." Look up here. Cornelius was not a Jewish proselyte. Cornelius was a Gentile, an uncircumcised Gentile, who did believe in Israel's God, who did many good things, but he was lost and he needed Jesus Christ. I want to deal with a verse that may confuse you. Go back to chapter 10. And if you look back at chapter 10, this verse may confuse you. You say, okay, I'm with you. I know they were uncircumcised Gentiles. But what did Peter mean in verse 35? Go up to verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation," that is the Gentiles, "he that feareth him," feareth God, "and worketh righteousness," is what? "Accepted with him." So somebody may say, well, is Peter saying that they were already saved? No. Here's what that means. You got to be careful that you don't read into revelation that's going to come later into this. When the Bible talks about us being accepted in the beloved and accepted in Christ, this is a whole that hadn't even been revealed yet. This is a different meaning. When he says here, you know what? Peter scratching his head. He's kind of wondering, why would God tell me to eat meat that's unclean? Why would God tell me to go to a Gentile's house? And now Peter's starting to put this together, and he says, okay, I'm starting to get this, that God now is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. What that means is this. You see, the Gentiles, now you got to think with me, the Gentiles, you remember, they were cut off from God's favor. They were cut off. You remember the flood? He sent the flood. He cuts off the Gentiles. He starts over with Abraham. He raises up this nation who would be accepted of God. And these Jews would have a privileged status. Doesn't mean they were all saved, but they were accepted in the sense that they were the people of God. They had the opportunity firsthand to hear the word of God, to hear the Mosaic law, to offer the sacrifice, to do all these things. They had that knowledge. They were given that privilege and that favor, Romans 3 teaches. So now all of a sudden, you got the Gentiles, though. They're kind of on the outside looking in. You got Gentiles all scattered all over the earth. God's plan was for Israel to be raised up, be a light to them, and that eventually then the blessing would go through Israel to them. But of course, Israel wasn't the light. So you got the Gentiles that are cut off from God. They're cut off from the favor of God because of their wickedness and their uncircumcision. They're cut off. Peter thought that only the Jews were acceptable to God and could be saved at this point. The Gentiles were considered ceremonially unclean. So God shows Peter that he's no respecter of persons and that Jews and Gentiles would now be on level ground. If Gentiles believed in God, they believed in the true God, and if Gentiles desired God's truth, they would not have to go through Israel anymore. They would not have to go through circumcision anymore. They would be accepted in the sense that they were no longer on the outside of God's plans looking in. They would be included in God's family and God's plans. No longer would they be considered unclean. But now any Gentile anywhere could be saved. They could be forgiven of their sins, but not until they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's why I said that they're accepted in the sense that they're no longer cut off and considered unclean. But they're not accepted in the sense that we think of being saved. So now these Gentiles are no longer cut off, but these Gentiles who believe in God, they fear God, they're trying to seek after God and follow righteousness, now God's going to send them more light. That's why God's going to launch Paul out into Gentile territories and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lesson here I think that we all need to learn tonight, and that is this. If there's one thing you learn from Cornelius, it's this. Good works and believing in God cannot impart the power to save us. Believing in God and doing good works cannot bring forgiveness of our sins. Only faith in Christ can do that. If a person believes in God, and if a person believes the Bible enough to try to follow God's principles of righteousness, certainly that manifests a tender heart, and I'm sure they would be much more open to the gospel, but they got to hear the gospel. They got to hear of Jesus in order to be saved. Amen? Aren't you glad you heard about Jesus? So Cornelius was a lost Gentile, and that's why God sent Peter to him, so that he could hear about Jesus and be saved. The second question I want to answer tonight is this. I'm going to bring up a chart. Can we bring up this chart? This is a chart called The Kingdom Postponed. And I want you to look at the chart, and then I want to ask you a question. I want you to think with me. Okay? In the Old Testament, God told Israel that He was going to give them a kingdom on earth. They'd have a Messiah. They would have a king on David's throne that would reign forever. When Jesus came, He declared that the kingdom is at hand if Israel would receive it. They crucified Him. On the cross, He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He sent back the Holy Spirit here in Acts. The apostles are filled with the Spirit. They preach to Israel. Remember, it's Israel only at this point. They're preaching to Israel. And they're saying, hey, Israel, if you will repent of crucifying Christ, then God will in turn send Jesus. The times of refreshing will come, and that kingdom will be established. Did Israel receive that, yes or no? No, they by and large rejected it. And then God sends Peter to Cornelius' house. Question. When Peter went to Cornelius' house, did he go there because he understood the revelation of the dispensation of grace? He understood the truth that God was going to form a new organism called the body of Christ. And he understood that God was postponing his kingdom program for Israel and ushering in a new dispensation. Did he understand all that when he went to Cornelius' house? Not one bit of it. That's why he was so reluctant to go. You see, the prophetic program back here, the kingdom program, it called for the conversion of Israel first. Then the blessing would flow from them to all the nations. And when that kingdom would come and be established, they would go out, they would then make disciples of all nations. So the blessing would come to Israel first, they would be saved, and then the blessing would go through them to the Gentile nations. Peter's commission here to go to Cornelius' house, that's a departure from that prophetic order. The revelation of the mystery here, right here, this yellow parentheses, the revelation of the mystery. The revelation that God's going to form this new organism called the body of Christ, and all those who put their faith in Christ are going to be part of the body, the church, the body of Christ. God's going to usher in this dispensation of grace. He's going to freely offer His grace, and He's going to establish and call out this body of believers, and they're going to be one with Jesus, seated in the heavenlies. All of that God is going to reveal later through who? Through the Apostle Paul. You say, wait a minute, are you sure Peter didn't understand all that? No. Peter, now stay with me here. I'll ask a question. Did Peter go to Cornelius' house, a Gentile's house? Did he go there in chapter 10? Is there evidence in chapter 10 that he went to Cornelius' house because of a previous commission from Jesus? Yes or no? No. What did it take to get him there? It took a special commission, didn't it? It took a special vision. It took a special commission to get him there. So it isn't that you hear guys preach this, that all of a sudden Peter realized, wow, I sure have been biased and I sure have been prejudiced and man, I sure have been disobedient to Christ for these first 9 chapters. And they didn't have chapters then, but you know what I mean. I really need to get with the program here and I need to do what Christ said and I need to go out into all the nations. No. He did not go to Cornelius' house because of a previous commission. He went because of a special commission from God. You remember we read there, for the very first time you read these words, that God hath put no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Do you know what? That took a special vision from God for Peter to get that. In chapter 10, we studied it last Sunday morning, you remember. In chapter 10, did Peter all of a sudden realize, hey, wait a minute, I've been missing the boat. There's no difference between us and the Gentiles. Man, I need to get out after them Gentiles. Is that what happened? Yes or no? No. It took a special vision to get it. You remember? Remember how we said he got that vision in a trance? And the sheet came down and it had all the unclean animals that were forbidden by Israel's law. And the voice said, rise and eat. And he said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. And then God said, what I've called clean, don't call common. And Peter's like, no, no. And then while he's thinking on the vision and what it could possibly mean, the knock comes at his door. And you got these Gentiles at his door saying, hey, Cornelius, this Gentile in Caesarea, he wants you to come. Peter's starting to figure it out. Even when he walks in the house, he still doesn't get it. He goes in Cornelius' house and he basically says to them, guys, you know this could really get me in hot water. Coming into a house like this of Gentiles, you can get me in hot water for this because this is against our law. And then he basically looks at him and says, so what do you want? So don't get the idea. It's that Peter finally figured this thing all out and he finally figured out, you know, the commission and all that, the Great Commission as we call it. And now he's figured it out and now he's going to do it. No, it took a special vision. It took special revelation. It took a special commission. And it took a set of events that God was basically orchestrating to get Peter to go and to share God's truth with these Gentiles. But again, it wasn't, well, we'll talk about that next week. But when Peter preached, let me ask you this, just to, again, we're answering the question, did he understand the revelation of the mystery and all the wonderful doctrines of the cross and what was accomplished on the cross that we preached this morning about how he made an atonement for all of our sins and how that now anyone could be saved by grace through faith and what he accomplished on that cross and through his blood we have the forgiveness of sins. We read that this morning, you know. And did Peter understand all that when he went to Cornelius' house? Did he go there and he was going to preach the redemptive work of the cross to them? It's not there at all. He preaches the cross the same way he preached it in Acts 2. And that is that it was a wicked, shameful deed done by Israel. But that God had raised up Christ from the dead and now he's alive. He did not go there and preach the cross as a blessed accomplishment as Paul later would when Paul received the revelation of the mystery. He presented it just like he did to Israel in early Acts. Peter and his fellow Jewish brethren that were there in Cornelius' house, Bible says, we read it a minute ago, they were astonished when the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. And I want you to notice their only defense, go over to chapter 11, and notice when they're talking to the church at Jerusalem to defend their actions, their only defense to the church, look at verse 17. 11:17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? That's his defense. It wasn't that, hey guys, you know the commission we got from Christ. You know this is what we're supposed to be doing all along. So, man, let's get with it. That's not what he said. It wasn't that Peter, you know, he said, man, guys, we've been biased. We've been prejudiced. We've missed the boat. Now we need to get with it. That wasn't what he said. His defense was, they got the Holy Spirit. They got the same gift that we got. It was evident that they had received the Holy Spirit, and who was I that I could withstand God? He said, man, God did it. I don't get it. I don't understand why, but I know God did it. And who was I that I could withstand God? This wasn't something that had been previously... Look, When Peter goes there and he preaches and they trust Christ and get the Holy Spirit, was that something Peter was expecting to happen, yes or no? No, they were astonished. I hope you're getting my point. Is that because you hear so much foolishness out there in supposed Bible preaching churches that man, they make a massacre of the book of Acts because they don't understand Paul and his unique apostleship and message and ministry. And so they try to take all this and they twist it all around and they try to make the apostles out like they were some kind of rebellious, disobedient guys, you know, that weren't quite all there or they didn't quite get it. It just wasn't clicking. But chapter 10, it finally clicked. And they finally understood the Great Commission and now they're at it. And that is so ludicrous. That is so foolish. I mean, look, it wasn't that Peter said, boy, you know what? Man, I got a great commission that I need to take the gospel to Gentiles, so I better get at it. And then he went down and he found Cornelius' house and he knocked on the door and he went in, and he's going in there expecting that these Gentiles are going to trust Christ and get the Holy Spirit. They're astonished. They cannot believe that uncircumcised Gentiles who are not proselytes, they've not come into Judaism, they're far removed from the Mosaic law, never been circumcised, never been water baptized, and all of a sudden they've got the Holy Spirit, just like we got, they said. They got the Holy Spirit like we did. But they're not Jews, they're not circumcised, they've never been baptized, and yet they got the Holy Spirit. And they're thinking, wow, they are astonished. Why? They didn't understand the revelation of the mystery. Now, we understand it because, praise God, we can look back and get it all. Amen? We've got the advantage of further revelation. We got the advantage of knowing what all Paul would write, what would be revealed to Paul, how there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. You know, God is no respecter of persons, and that anybody can put their faith in Christ. He's concluded them all in unbelief, that he may have mercy upon all. And that, you know, and that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We got all those wonderful verses that now we look at and we see it clearly. But they didn't have all that revelation yet. Paul's up there waiting in Tarsus. So none of all the revelation of the mystery, the dispensation of grace, none of that's been revealed yet in Acts 10. It's going to come. This is going to open the door for Paul to reveal all that. This is going to open the door for Paul to make all that known. But Peter doesn't get any of that. He's just going because basically God wrote on a wall, go to Cornelius' house. And that's why he's going. You know, that's it. But it wasn't because these guys are stupid. They walked with the risen Christ for 40 days after his resurrection. They weren't ignorant. They weren't stupid. But they knew that Israel had to be converted first. That was the prophetic program. Then, once Israel's converted, they will become a kingdom of priests on earth that will then go out and disciple all nations. But they are converted first. Then the blessing goes from God through Israel to the Gentiles. Now the blessing of God's going to the Gentiles despite Israel, not through Israel. Now the blessing of God is going to Gentiles in spite of their rejection of Christ. That's something brand new. And Peter didn't get that. That's why he was astonished. That's something that would come later through Paul, and he would explain all that to us. Is God going to pick up his kingdom program with Israel? Yes or no? Yeah, he's going to pick that program up when our time is over. When this dispensation of grace, this mystery time's over, he'll pick up his prophetic program. And it'll start clicking. And he's going to deal with Israel again, and they will be that blessing to all the Gentile nations in the kingdom that God wanted them to be. But right now, God's changing the program, but Peter doesn't know it. He's changing the program. He's setting the stage for the change in program that's going to come through Paul, but Peter doesn't know it yet. And that's why those things unfold the way they do. So I hope that kind of answers some things in your mind, wondering why Peter responded that way, and you know, why things happened the way they did, and why the Peter said what he said to the Jerusalem church. I hope that's all making sense to you. That none of that has been revealed yet, what we know through Paul. That's all still a mystery. It's still hidden. It still has not been revealed yet. Isn't it important to rightly divide God's word? You know, it's very important. Acts 10 is a bridge. Like I said, it's going to take you from Peter to Paul. That sounds funny to say, Peter to Paul. But it is. It's going to take you from Peter to Paul. It reminds me of that Peter Paul Mounds. Is that what they're called? Peter Paul Mounds. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Anyway, I won't go there. Almond Joy's got nuts. Peter Paul Mounds don't. Anyway. But yeah, Acts 10 is a bridge that's going to take you from, say it with me, from Peter to Paul. Acts 10 is a bridge that's going to take you from God's kingdom program, which Peter's the leader of. It's going to take you over to the mystery program that we're living in, the dispensation of grace, in which Paul is our apostle. And that's why Peter's going to disappear and Paul's going to take over. It wasn't that God was mad at Peter. It's that now there's a new purpose. There's a new plan coming in here. And Acts 10 is that bridge taking you over to it. Amen? All right, let's pray. We'll stop there tonight. Next week, we'll answer some more questions about this.